The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. As we began to see yesterday, slander can be a very effective tool in Satan's toolbox. In this case, the enemies of the kingdom of God began to spread lies about Nehemiah and his colleagues in an effort to get the king of Persia to stop the great work of the kingdom. This type of assault is still very effective today. Too often, slander begins to spread both within and without the church, and much damage is caused thereby. So how do we deal with slander? Join us today as we begin to see how Nehemiah calmly faced this assault and ultimately didn't let it hinder his great work in the kingdom of God.
In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls about me, and there's no hiding place. In the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry.
But you know what the Bible says about this? In one place, I read about bearing false witness. I believe it's a little section called the Ten Commandments. One of the basic moral principles of the kingdom of God. One of God's basic moral laws is that we're not to bear false witness against our neighbor. In Exodus 23 and verse 1, he says, "Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness." Don't go lying about somebody. Thou shalt not follow. And right on the heels of that, he says, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." Now listen to this. Isn't that in the Bible up to date? You know, it's rarely just one person here or one person there, is it? Isn't it? When somebody gets down on you, it's like they all pile on. It's like the mob is after you. And I'm speaking particularly of social media, but not just social media. In school, that's the way it was. Listen, I look back on people that were picked on in my class, and I look back on it now, and I thought at the time it was absolutely appropriate. I didn't do it, but I could understand. It just didn't bother me. It's like, okay, they're being picked on. There must be something wrong with them. I look back at them now, and I think, my goodness, there wasn't anything wrong with that person. Somebody just got down on them, and the next thing you know, everybody started piling on. But he said here, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." Don't jump on the bandwagon. Stay off of the bandwagon, child of God. Don't get in there when somebody's doing evil and jump on it. And this is stated in the context of raising a false report or slandering somebody. He said, "Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment." In other words, you're not to get on the bandwagon when somebody's speaking falsely about somebody else and continue to repeat that, you know. And listen, it's no defense that the hee-haw honeys said that I'm not going to repeat gossip, so you better listen to it the first time. That is no defense, okay? I know that was a joke and I get it, but just understand, repeating it, saying it one time is one time too many, you see. One time too many. Because look at what happens. Look at the results of slander. Now, this is things we probably experienced, but I don't have to have experienced it when the Bible says it happens. Proverbs 16 and 28, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." Look at what gossiping and slander will do for you. It will cause strife and separation. I've experienced this. I've experienced it in the political realm and in the work realm. I've experienced it in the social realm. And you know, as I said, we're going to talk about it in a moment, how to deal with this. But if it's not dealt with right, it can separate chief friends. Best friends can be separated by slanderous statements. Now, there's a way to deal with it if you're the one being slandered or if you're the one who is hearing the slander, okay? All right, but we'll come back to that in a moment. Proverbs 18 and verse 8. Now, let me stop you before we read it. "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me," right? And that's what the world says. That's what the world says. That's the truth. We learn that as young people, right? Let's see what the Bible says. Proverbs 18:8. "The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly." Boy, that's true, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever been gossiped about or slandered. Somebody said something about you that wasn't true, or he said something about you that was true, but that was hurtful. I have experienced that. And you know what it was? It was like, you heard the phrase, like a kick in the gut, right? That's what it'll do for you. It's like a kick in the gut. You know, the Greeks and the Hebrews even, but especially the Greeks and the Romans, they believed that the seat of the emotion was the belly, not the heart. You know, we think about the seat of the emotion as the heart and all that, but that was the belly. That's why you read about bowels of mercies over in the New Testament, because the idea is that here is where all of the emotions come from. Well, if you think about it, I know people that have gotten so stressed out about emotional things that they've gotten sick at their stomach. You know, I always end up confessing. You preachers know what I'm talking about. I can remember a time when Sherry and I were dating and had a lot going on. Had a lot going on in law school, a lot of stuff going on, and I was just so nervous. And so I turned out, I guess it was probably a panic attack. Looking back on it, I didn't know what they were called back then. But I was going over to see her, and I just had to turn around and go home and lay down. I just was so sick at my stomach over everything that was going on. I wasn't physically sick. It was mental stress and emotional stress. And she wasn't part of it, by the way. I just didn't know how in the world I was going to be able to go over into her presence with all the stress that I had on my mind. So anyway, but pain and suffering, see, slander and talebearing and whispering, it brings hurt. It's hurtful. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Beloved, some of the most painful things you'll go through in life, some of you young people particularly, you hear what I'm saying, some of the most painful things you'll experience in life are the words of people that people say about you. They did this in a very sly and effective way. But I want you to notice, beginning in verse 8, how Nehemiah responded here. He said, "Then I sent unto him." Let me stop you here. Did Nehemiah get online and go get his buddies and start posting about Sanballat? Man, I got to tell you about it. You know, that's what I want to do. Whenever I start hearing things, you know, especially in politics, somebody's saying something about it, the first thing I want to do is call up my friend and say, "Hey, let me tell you about what so-and-so said, and let me tell you about them. Let me tell you what they are doing, okay? I got some good stuff on them. Hey, don't worry. They're saying these things about me, but I can get them. I got opposition research is what we call it, right?" He didn't worry about any opposition research. He didn't worry about digging down into Sanballat's history because he knew where Sanballat was. He knew what category to put Sanballat in. And he said, "I sent unto him saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work that it be not done." Now, notice first of all what he did. He had to have the wisdom to know even whether to respond or not. I want you to look with me over in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 4 for a minute. Now listen to this. I want you to listen to verses 4 and 5. "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." Well, that's clear, right? Okay. So the way to handle it is when you got somebody who's a fool out there or an enemy out there slandering you, don't answer him according to his folly. Just stay quiet. Let it blow over. Everything will be all right, right? And that's clear scripture, right? Let's read verse 5. "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." Now, wait a minute. Verse 4 says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly." Verse 5 says, "Answer a fool according to his folly." So is there a contradiction in the scriptures here? Is that the problem? If we finally run across something that our enemies say is true, there's contradictions in the scripture. Well, I don't believe there's contradictions in the scripture, Brother Buddy, Brother Craig. I don't believe there's any contradictions in scripture. I believe what this is teaching us is this, is that we need wisdom and discernment in order to know whether to even respond to something like this. We need to be in the Word, and we need to be on our knees. We need to be seeking God's counsel in order to even know, because there are some attacks that go out there upon us that just, you know, we just need to ignore. Right? One of the things I'll never forget, Big Jim Folsom was a governor of the state of Alabama, and I hate to even quote him. I think he was pretty much a drunk and a rascal, but he had a pretty good saying. He said, when they start mud slinging, when the mud gets on you, if you'll just leave it alone and let it dry, you can basically just flake it off. And that's he said, if you start rubbing it, it'll smear everywhere. So there's times when you need to just let it dry and flake it off, okay? When it gets dry. But there's times when you need to answer. There's times, and we need to have wisdom to know when. Now, I can't give you the detailed points about when to answer and when not to, because each situation is going to be different. But I will say this, when there is a scandalous, scurrilous, slanderous statement being made about you, then it's probably time to respond, but not in the way that the world would have you to respond. Don't come up with your own mud and start slinging it, you see. Just do what look at what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah, first of all, he said, and I didn't read this, but look at the end of verse 9. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. What's the one characteristic we see about Nehemiah throughout all these chapters so far? Every time he has a problem, he goes to the Lord in prayer. Every time his spirit is stirred up within him, he goes to the Lord in prayer. He prayed for weeks, months at the beginning of this book. And every time we see him, every time we come upon him with a problem, we'll see at some point in this episode, he will go to the Lord and say, God, help me. Think upon me. Verse 19 of chapter 5, think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I've done for this people. He's saying, God, strengthen my hands. Help me, God. And then he responded. Here's the way he responded. He responded properly. Turn with me just for a minute over to Psalm 109. This is one of the best psalms I've found to tell us about how to deal with those who are hatefully slandering us. In Psalm 109, look at this prayer of David. And think about David. David probably had more slander, more whispering, more backbiting against him than anybody we read about in the Scripture. In Psalm 109 and verse 1, he says this. He says, hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. Boy, that fits Nehemiah's case, doesn't it? Sanballat and all his cronies are over there lying about him. In verse 3, he said, they compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. And look, he says in verse 4, for my love they are my adversaries. In other words, because I love you, God, for my love they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. Here's the first place David goes. It's the same place Nehemiah went. He went to prayer. He hit his knees and he began to seek the counsel of God. I want to say to young folks, older folks, whatever age you are, but especially you young people, when social media starts going against you, when you start having problems among your peers, among your coworkers, among your friends, among anybody out there that maybe you may be close to or that may be coming against you, hit your knees in prayer. Hit your knees in prayer. He says, they're all against me. They fought against me without a cause. They're my adversaries, but I'm going to pray about it. That's the first line of defense. And that's the last line of retreat, by the way. It's the supply line for the armor of God if you go back over to Ephesians chapter 6. So notice what Nehemiah did. Here's what he did. This is how you handle a slanderous man. Verse 8, we've already read it, but we'll read it again. Then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. He denied that they were true. He denied that these accusations were true. He says, for they all made us afraid, saying their hands shall be weakened from the work that it be not done. That's the reason they're doing this. He denied they were true, and he pointed out where they came from. He prayed to God for strength, and he went back to work. Verse 10, afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, and he goes on to talk about some of the things there, but he has gotten back to work, you see. In this case, Nehemiah knew that his character was such that no honest person would believe these reports, but he just needed to deny them. He needed to be on the record as saying they're not true, and then he moved on. You know, there's a good lesson here, too. Nehemiah was the kind of man against whom such accusations probably wouldn't stick very well. He had a character. He'd already demonstrated to the king what his character was as he was before him as his cupbearer. If we take care of our character, beloved, then we can trust God to take care of our reputation. All right, let's close out with this. How should we deal with slander, okay? How should we deal with it? Well, first of all, how should we deal with slander that we hear? that we hear. You're not the subject of it, but you hear. Somebody comes to me and says, you know, I heard Brother Buddy, he was doing thus and such, you know. And Brother Mackey comes trying to tell me something bad about Brother Buddy, what I do. Yeah, tell me, Brother Mackey. I want to hear it. I want to hear it. What? Tell me more. Let me hear more. Well, if you are the subject, okay, it may be, or even if you're not, if you're just hearing it, one of the first possible approaches is get to the bottom of it. Get to the bottom of it, okay? Now listen to this, Proverbs 11 and verse 9, "An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered." What's he saying here, preacher? He's saying, don't listen to the things that the hypocrite or anybody else is saying. If it's important enough to deal with, then go to that person and find out the truth. You know, that's why we don't, you know, Matthew 18 says you got a problem with somebody in church, you go to them. You don't go talk about them. You go to them one-on-one. In fact, you go to them one-on-one before you talk about it. Unless you want to get counsel from your pastor or from somebody wise in the church, that's okay, I believe. But otherwise, you go to them and you try to work it out between you and them. You know, I had that happen to me one time. Somebody that you wouldn't think, and I won't call his name, but he was a very well-known politician who I had made a statement at one time out at a meeting I was at that was taken out of context and got back to him. And you know, he called me and he said, "I heard that you said this." And I was able to say, "No, I didn't. I said this other thing." And we got that worked out, never had another problem. But you know what he could have done? He could have just listened to that, and the next thing I know, he's having nothing to do with me, or he's hurting me, or he's against me in some way, and I don't even know why. If it's important enough, get to the bottom of it, because through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When you go find out what it is that is the truth of the matter, if you go find out the truth of the matter, that knowledge will deliver you from all these consequences of slander. You see, another proverb that's, I think, totally so many times not applied in our lives. Proverbs 18:13 said, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." So, you know, how many times have we, I'm terrible about this, Brother Craig. Somebody come to me and say, "Did you hear what so-and-so did?" I'm like, "Man, that is so wrong. I am so angry about that. I'm going to go take care of it." And this would happen to me a lot when I was a prosecutor. I learned early on, you don't listen to the first person that comes in. Somebody would come into my office and they'd sit down and say, "Let me tell you my story. This man came over to my farm and he stole one of my pigs and he killed one of my cows." And, you know, and then I get so angry. "We're going to charge him. We're going to put them in jail." And then you go investigate it and you find out that he was actually going to get one of his pigs and his cows back, you know, that had been stolen from him, you see. Don't answer a matter. Don't come to a conclusion on a matter before you hear the whole matter. Now, a second possible approach, and this is probably the best approach in most cases. If you are the subject of the slander and can do this, you're better off to do it. But especially if you're not, if you're hearing slander, you're hearing talebearing and gossip going on, don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. Because if you listen to it and repeat it, you're just stoking the fire. Proverbs 26 and verse 20 says, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." You know, when you hear it and then you repeat it, you're just carrying on that fire. You're just keeping it going. "As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife." If you're continuing to tell these tales, you are continuing to kindle strife. So either go to the source of it and get to the bottom of it, or just shut up about it, okay? Just be quiet about it, all right? See, it's important that we know how to handle gossip and slanderous accusations. Otherwise, these weapons of the enemy will upset us. They'll cause us to lose sleep, and I know because I've been there. They'll hinder the work of the kingdom of God. You'll get sidetracked trying to deal with this. Ultimately, the answer is found right there in verse 9, where he prays that prayer, "Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." If we'll go to the God about all of these problems, He will strengthen our hands, and we won't have to deal with them. So we'll deal with some of the other attacks of the enemy next time, but I appreciate your kind attention tonight.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.